The most surprising thing about the startup of mass public education in mid-19th century Massachusetts is how overwhelmingly parents of all classes soon complained about it. Reports of school committees around 1850 show the greatest single theme of discussion was conflict between the state and the general public on this matter. Resistance was led by the old yeoman class, those families accustomed to taking care of themselves and providing meaning for their own lives. The little town of Barnstable on Cape Cod is exemplary. Its school committee lamented, according to Katz's Irony of Early School Reform, that the, quote, great defect of our day is the absence of governing or controlling power on the part of parents and the consequent insubordination of children. Our schools are rendered inefficient by the apathy of parents, close quote. Years ago, I was in possession of an old newspaper account which related the use of militia to march recalcitrant children to school there, but I've been unable to locate it again. Nevertheless, even a cursory look for evidence of state violence in bending public will to accept compulsion schooling will be rewarded. Bruce Curtis' book, Building the Education State, 1836 to 1871, documents the intense aversion to schooling which arose across North America. In Anglican Canada, where leadership was uniform, as well as in the United States, where leadership was more divided. Many schools were burned to the ground, and teachers run out of town by angry mobs. When students were kept after school, parents often broke into school to free them. At Saltfleet Township in 1859, a teacher was locked in the schoolhouse by students who, quote, threw mud and mire in his face and all over his clothes, close quote, according to school records, while parents egged them on. At Bradford, Ontario, in 1863, the teacher William Young was assaulted, according to his replacement, to the point that Mr. Young's head, face, and body was, if I understand rightly, pounded literally to jelly. Curtis argues that parent resistance was motivated by a radical transformation in the intentions of school, a change from teaching basic literacy to molding social identity. The first effective American compulsory schooling in the modern era was a reform school movement which know-nothing legislatures of the 1850s put into the hopper along with their radical new adoption law. Objects of reformation were announced as follows. Respect for authority, self-control, self-discipline. The properly reformed boy, quote, acquires a fixed character, close quote. One that can be planned for in advance by authority in keeping with the efficiency needs of business and industry. Reform meant the total transformation of character, behavior modification, a complete makeover. By 1857, a few years after stranger adoption was kicked off as a new policy of the state, Boutwell could consider foster parenting, the old designation for adoption, one of the major strategies for the reform of youth, close quote. The first step in the strategy of reform was for the state to become de facto parent of the child. That, according to another Massachusetts educator, Emory Washburn, quote, presents the state in her true relation of a parent seeking out her erring children. The 1850s in Massachusetts marked the beginning of a new epoch in schooling. Washburn triumphantly crowed that these years produced the first occasion in history whereby a state, in the character of a common parent, has undertaken the high and sacred duty of rescuing and restoring her lost children by the influence of the school, close quote. John Philbrick, Boston school superintendent, said of his growing empire in 1863, here is a real home. All schooling, including the reform variety, was to be in imitation of the best family system of organization. This squared with the prevalent belief that delinquency was not caused by external conditions, thus letting industrialists and slumlords off the hook. but by deficient homes. Between 1840 and 1860, male school teachers were cleansed from the Massachusetts system and replaced by women. A variety of methods was used, including the novel one of paying women slightly more than men in order to bring shame into play in chasing men out of the business. Again, the move was part of a well-conceived strategy. Experience teaches that these boys, many of whom never had a mother's affection, need the softening and refining influence which woman alone can give. And we have, wherever practicable, substituted female officers and teachers for those of the other sex. Close quote. A state report noted the frequency with which parents coming to retrieve their own children from reform school were met by news their children had been given away to others through the state's parens patriae power. Quote, "We have felt it to be our duty generally to decline giving them up to their parents and have placed as many of them as we could with farmers and mechanics," close quote, reads a portion of Public Document 20 for the state of Massachusetts, written in 1864. To recreate the feelings of parents on hearing this news is beyond my power.